यमुना तीरा वनचारी रायो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जायो 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 राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदर्शी श्रीमान इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम एथ कैंटो चैप्टर टू एंटाइटल द एलिफेंट गजेंद्रस क्राइसिस टेक्स्ट नंबर 30।
ततो गजेन्द्रस्य मनोबलौजसाम् कालेन दीर्घेण महान् भूद्व्ययः विकृष्यमाणस्य जले वसीदतो विपर्ययो भूत् सकलं जलौकसः ततो गजेन्द्रस्य मनोबलौजसाम् कालेन दीर्घेण महान् भूद्व्ययः विकृष्यमाणस्य जले वसीदतो विपर्ययो भूत्सकलं जलौकसः ततो गजेन्द्रस्य मनोबलौजसाम् कालेन दीर्घेण महान् भूद्व्यय विकृष्यमाणस्य जले वसीदतो विपर्ययो भूत् सकलं जलौकसः ततो गजेन्द्रस्य मनोबलौजसा ततो गजेन्द्रस्य कालेन दीर्घेण महान् भूत् विकृष्यमाणस्य जले वसीदतो विपर्ययो भूगलं जलो ततो गजेन्द्रस्य मनोबलौजसा कालेन दीर्घेण महान् विकृष्यमाणस्य जले वसीदतो विपर्ययो भूगलौजसा.
Anyone else? Okay. Tataha, thereafter, Gaja Indrasya, of the king of the elephants, Manaha, of the strength of enthusiasm, Bala, the physical strength, Ojasam, and the strength of the senses. Kalena, because of years of fighting. Dirghena, prolonged. Mahan, great. Abhut, became. Vyayaha, the expenditure. Vikrishyamanasya, who was being pulled by the crocodile. Jale, into the water, a foreign place. Avasidataha, reduced mental, physical and sensory strength. Viparyayaha, the opposite. Abhut, became. Sakalam, all of them. Jalaokasaha, the crocodile whose home is the water. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength and sensual power. Purport. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place, in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food, and under the circumstances, his bodily strength
became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone. And therefore there are divisions of varnashram: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one takes sannyas. Ashwamedham gavalambham sannyasam palapaitrikam devarena sutotpattim kalim pancha kalau pancha vivarjayet. From this we can understand that in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks that he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean that he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do, and at the same time one can be a Grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended sthane sthita shrutigatam tanuvang manobhihi. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It's not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram. But one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the Grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength. But one should not give up fighting and go away.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Sriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Shatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Padidanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So, last 5 weeks, I was traveling through Australia and New Zealand to conduct courses on embedding care in Krishna conscious communities. And the one that I conducted in New Zealand was the 20th course. 20th time I have been doing that. The GBC Devotee Care Committee in 2017 came out with a course on how to embed care in Krishna conscious communities. They came out with a curriculum to be established as far as possible all over the world. And the vision of devotee care in that manual reads like this. Every devotee is spiritually happy and materially well situated, positively identifying with ISKCON as a caring society. Every devotee responsibly takes care of his or her diverse needs. Everyone is able to easily and successfully seek qualified help within the community. And thirdly, wholeheartedly extend that care to others. So basically this has three aspects: self-care, seek care, and extend care. Self-care is to responsibly take care of one's own needs. One should be equipped to identify one's needs and to be equipped with the knowledge and skills how to fulfill that need. And if not, then he is able to seek successfully and easily qualified help within the society. And naturally, having given so much in terms of knowledge, skills and values, training and education,
a person feels grateful and feels a sense of belonging as a family. And born of that sense of belonging is a sense of gratitude, from which is born magnanimity and desire to share that with others generously. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Janma sarthaka kari karo paropakar. And then there are 12 recipients: brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, cows, leaders, like that. Women, children, all those 12 recipients. And there are 12 areas of care: spiritual, physical, emotional, other several areas like that. So, specifically that we have come here for a brahmachari retreat, and even otherwise for others who are sitting here, it can be a lesson that needs to be learned from a broader perspective for an organization, international society like ours, to be at least knowledgeable about certain things. Pre-COVID, from say 2015 onwards to 20, in Radha Gopinath Mandir, more than one or two dozens of brahmacharis left the ashram and continued on in their fight with the crocodile of Maya. So, during that time, and the senior most was 49 years of age, and the longest lasting devotee was 22 years in the ashram, best part of their life being given for serving the mission. Thankfully, by the direction of the leadership in the later years, things were facilitated as far as possible to help them settle down and move, make the transition as graceful as possible. But in the process, I was kind of contemplating and went into a mode of little introspection, trying to understand, because they were like in kind of a midlife crisis types. And I was trying to understand, read some articles, read from here and there. And I came across an article, not an article, a lecture by His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, one of the most, one of my very favorite and very scientific and very intellectual and very deep thinking person, who presents very amazing perspectives to understand life. He was once asked to give a talk on midlife crisis, and I was, Hare Krishna, Radhishyam Prabhu ki jai. So Radhishyam Prabhu has come to give us his association. So I was going through, and he kind of spoke spontaneously, but he had so many, like every sentence was like a sutra. And he basically spoke about crisis. And since crisis is a very universal phenomena, we'll be addressing that specifically. Here we find about Gajendra's crisis, But crisis is something that inevitably everyone faces sometime or the other in life, some extent or the other, for some duration or the other. It could be health crisis, it could be financial crisis, it could be relationship crisis, but it's inevitable. It's not if, it's only a question of when and how long. And therefore, understanding the nature of crisis, especially in a spiritual organization, is important. Specifically, in terms of the Brahmacharya Ashram, since we are in this retreat here. But it does apply everywhere. So, if we are trained to understand the nature of crisis and are equipped with a proper skill sets and values and are already planning for it, then at least the impact will not be as strong, as unexpected, as painful as if it is not done. In the Bhagavatam, very interesting, two chapters in the first canto, Dhritarashtra quits home. And the next chapter, very next after that, very soon, is Pandavas retire timely. One quits, or forcefully. One is forced, while the other one is voluntary. One is expelled, the other one is impelled from within to do the needful at the right time, knowing that goal is very clear, these are the different stages, I am prepared and I'll do the needful. So, through training and planning, at least we will be much more anticipating it and be prepared for it. And it may not come as strong as otherwise. So, devotees are not exempt from it or transcendental to it. Because we are in a body, we may understand we are not the body, but we are in the body. And the body, unfortunately, is made up of the same five material elements and the other subtle elements, which are under stringent laws of nature. So it is common to us. It is inevitable. Therefore, real intelligence means to plan and to be prepared for these kind of inevitable crises that may come up in life. Very interesting. Growth means crisis. As soon as there is growth, there is crisis. It is inevitable. And why is it inevitable? Because we are changing. I remember in Radha Gopinath Mandir, earlier there was no receptionist, no telephone operator. So between 5 and 9:15, anyone came, it's up to themselves, they have to manage on their own. And a strict rule, 5 o'clock, conchal blows, the whole ashram is empty. Anyone steals, picks up anything from the ashram and goes, nobody bothers because everyone has to be there up there. Till 9:15, no question, dare anyone get out of the temple All this was like Lakshman Rekha. If you go outside, finished, you'll be caught by Ravana, Maya of Ravan. You know? Actually, even I remember it was so strict. Actually, in one sense, it was good, like we were discussing yesterday. If in the formative years, if you have gone through a good discipline, it's very helpful in the later years. At least the conscience will prick. I say, hey, better do it. How can you just be casual about it? But in those early years, I feel we had a good fortune of someone who was really strict. And one time I went to Belgaum. And I was supposed to sing the Mangalarti. So I got up regular. I asked, before I slept, I asked, what time is Mangalarti? Because sometimes it is slightly here, 4:15, 4:30. So they tell 4:30. I said, okay. And I got up, perfectly planned accordingly. And I was applying tilak on the 12 parts of my body. And suddenly, literally my heart came out of my mouth. I couldn't believe it. Still 3 more minutes left. It was like, you know, the door to the spiritual world was closed right on your face. Go back. It was such a shock, unimaginable, that before the conch shell blows, you are not in the temple hall. Literally, I'm saying it's not a joke. Actually, I felt big failure. It's like, you know, failed in your final exams or something. And I said, how is it possible? It's 3 minutes still left. And the conch shell went on blowing. And went on blowing till almost like 18 seconds. And it was as if the conch shell is coming towards me. Then I realized it was the train. You know? It was, you know, in Belgaum temple is next to a train track. So, and when it stopped, I felt such a relief. Immediately applied tilak and ran. So, because that kind of a system was there, so the whole temple used to be empty between 5 and 9:15. And sometime guests would come or something would be stolen. Nobody would be bothering about, nobody would pick up the phone calls also. Therefore, at least we decided we should have a receptionist during that time. Throughout the day, we should appoint someone. And that receptionist became the luggage carrier, the gatekeeper, the security, to do all the smaller tasks, and in charge of the shoe stall during Mangalarti. Everyone would come and leave the shoe right next to that fellow. Hey, Ganesh, his name was Ganesh. Hey, Ganesh, chappal rakhao main idhar. And that went on for some time. Only when one time, which is 2 years later, and I was doing this Gita course, and the fourth day was, why do bad things happen to good people? And there was a boy who after that came to me. He had tears in his eyes. He said, sir, I am so grateful to you. Today I really understood, why do bad things happen to good people? Thank you so much. And he went out, and in 10 minutes he stormed in and was shouting like anything. I will never come here again. And he walked off because his shoes was lost. And he, you know, he had taken some very beautiful shoes, newly purchased, 999 and 99 paisa, whatever that shoes. And that shoes was lost. And Shyamanand Prabhu was standing there. He took off his own slippers. He said, you take my Hawai chappal, you go, Baba, at least. He said, nothing doing. I will not borrow from anybody else. We will pay you something. No, I don't want. What is this? Is it temple? And he walked off, never to come again. After hearing the lecture and appreciating, why do bad things happen to good people? That is the time we decided, high time we have a shoe stall. and employ a person for a shoe stall. Because there was a crisis. So the point I'm trying to make is, growth is crisis. Because we have figured out a particular way of doing things as per our body, as per our nature, as per our situation, as per our understanding. And suddenly a situation comes which you are not equipped to handle. And there is a crisis. Therefore it is said, growth means crisis. Now, empiric and scientific literature of the outside world has information. They have really figured out how body changes, you know, from childhood to teenage years, what other development happens. There is enough books there, out there, which talks about the bodily changes, changes of mind, and of course, soul remains the same. Soul doesn't change. That is never changeable. That's one thing that is common. And soul is inside the body. The body is changing, but the soul can't understand because the soul doesn't change. This is the issue. So physiologically, physically, the body is changing. So the mind is affected and the soul is bewildered. So there is a growth, or there is sudden change of circumstance. There is sudden change of situation. And if you are not equipped, if you are not properly anticipating it, then suddenly the soul is not able to figure out through the mind. And the mind is, you know, in chaos. Because it's all of a sudden this has come. Actually, even in devotees, it is not the soul. Now we may say we know the soul. It's a fact. Yes, a devotees or those who are transcendentalists, those who understand the scriptures, know that the soul is there and the soul is unchangeable. But why do we find even devotees get bewildered? Inevitably. Because the body is changing, but our ego doesn't accept it. The identity has to change, but the ego is very stubborn to change. And therefore it is difficult to digest. About 22 years ago, 23 years ago, we went to Badrinath. And we were climbing to another place, Vyas Gufa. You know, and then there is another falls, very beautiful, which is another 2 kilometers up. Now 2 kilometers walking is one thing, 2 kilometers climbing is, especially in the Himalayas, especially at that height, very difficult, extremely difficult. And so we were about 500 people, ranging from 8 years to 80 years. And I was at that time 40. Around 40. And we were climbing. And after some time, because I had a very serious thoracic surgery and part of my lung had been removed. So lung capacity being lesser than ordinary person, practically half, 50%. I was like panting and puffing. And suddenly, an old lady smiled at me pitifully and walked ahead of me. Oh, to my ego, it was such a... I realized my body was 40-year-old, my lungs were 60-year-old, and my false ego was 20-year-old. And it couldn't digest. So I said, I have to at least help this lady and go front of her and rather than she pitifully looking at me. And I tried, but I couldn't. And she says, can I help you? I realized the ego is very strong. Another time I was going by train and a young man turns to me and said, uncle, can you help move a little bit? Uncle? I used to call everyone uncle and suddenly this young man calls me uncle. So actually I felt I'm always 16-year-old. But then the body had changed. Then I was at home recently and my niece brought her daughter and said, look, you know, smaller grandpa, you know, they call it in Tamil, Kutti Appaji. What? Grandfather? And then I looked in front of the mirror, yeah, I think I am. So it's very difficult for the ego to accept that the change, things are changing. What to speak of many other things that change in life other than body also. So beginning of spiritual law, actually the beginning of spiritual life itself starts with a crisis. Coming to spiritual life itself means a crisis. Why crisis? As it is described in the very first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein it is very interesting. The first chapter of Gita is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama Prathamodhyaya. Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Actually, Krishna doesn't speak at all in that place. It's only Arjuna's lamentation. It's Arjuna's despondency. But still, the chapter is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. So why is it called like that? Why is it called yoga? You know? There's actually half verse that Krishna speaks. Uvacha partha pashyaitan kurun. Partha, look at the kurus. That's all. And that too indirectly it is spoken. Not Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhagavan Uvacha starts only in the second chapter. That's all. And it is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Why is it called a yoga? So it is described that the first chapter is setting the scene or explaining the need for speaking Gita. Who is Gita meant for? Who qualifies to hear the Gita? Who is a fit candidate to hear the Gita? If you want to know who will really benefit from the Gita, Gita can be heard by anyone. Who will really benefit by the Gita? If a person studies the first chapter and understands the mood of Arjuna, if we can align ourselves with exactly the mood that Arjuna had, then we will be immediately benefited by the Gita as Arjuna benefited. And at the end of the Gita, he says, Nashto moha smitir laddha tot prasadat mayachuta sitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. So, Arjuna was in a particular mood there. So that is like the prepare. What is the consciousness that Arjuna had? That actually shows. So, what is happening with Arjuna? Arjuna is undergoing a very serious identity crisis. He is having a very serious identity crisis. And he's smart, he's knowledgeable, he's trained, but still, because of that, he's foreseeing the impending crisis that will come upon him. And therefore, he is expressing it in the Gita itself. You know, So there is this beautiful verse. And what was his identity? This is another very interesting point to understand. What is our identity? Most of the time, almost, our identity is a sum total of our attachments. On the bodily conception of life, our identity is a sum total of our attachments. And here was Arjun standing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. On both sides, even on the enemy side, he had all his own people. All types of relatives were standing right there. Tatra apashyat sthitan parthah. Tatra apashyat. Who were sitting? I mean, who was standing on the battlefield? He's about to shoot and kill people. Actually, he's come for a fight to death. Tatra apashyat sthitan parthah. Pitrin, pitamahan, acharyan, mataran, bhratran, putran, sakhinsata, shwasuran, suhridaschaiva, senayor ubhayorapi. All his relatives, practically. His sons and grandsons, people, grandson, children were also there. Like Anuruddha was there in the battle. Who were like, Krishna's grandson, Pradyumna and then Anuruddha. And Krishna was equal to Arjun. They were like sakhas. So all kinds of relatives, in-laws, mother, father-in-law, and, brother-in-law, and there is grandfathers and uncles, fatherly figures, son-like figures, friendly people. All of them, it was just a family affair. And it was a serious... Now, a father is a father as long as there is a son. A guru becomes a guru only there is a disciple. In fact, if you come from Bandra, turning of Bandra towards, if you come from Chopati, from Bandra to take towards Khar, there is this beautiful figure there on the, right across the street. There is this lady, like a diorama, holding a child. And it says, the child gives birth to the mother. And I was like, is sahi likha hai kya, bhool ke hai, ulta likh diya. We have heard that mother gives birth to the child. It is written, the child gives birth to the mother. And I asked Shavanand Prabhu, Prabhu, kuch gadbadi hai? He said, nahi, socho, sahi hai. As soon as a child is born, the mother is born. The child gives birth to the motherhood in the mother. So, a mother is a mother only when there is a child. So, all our identity is based on either some position or some possession. Think about it. Some possession. I am an engineer. I am a doctor. I am an intelligent man. I am a bhakti shastri. I am a bhakti vaibhav. So it's some kind of possession. I possess a particular degree or certain qualities or position. I am a Radha Gopinath Brahmachari. I am a LC member, EC member, TC member, whatever, Now we may speak it very casually, but it is a very serious identity. And we are, our identity depends upon these positions or our possessions. And when that is shaken all of a sudden, I am a brahmachari and suddenly the title is going to be taken up and I am not prepared for it. I am not planned for it. Overnight there is a change. It's a crisis. I am neither internally prepared how to see it, how to understand it, how to take it, nor am I prepared to deal with people in such a situation of a sudden change. Some things happen little gradually, but crisis means too many changes too quickly. That's a crisis. So, when such a thing happens, it is setting the scene for explaining the need of speaking the Gita. And here, Arjuna is undergoing this identity crisis. So, what happens to his identity? So, it is a sum total of attachment to our position, possession, and relationships. Relationships also. So, and we see the result. Because Arjuna was not able to figure out how to deal with it, suddenly he says, Kim no rajyena govinda, kim bhogair jivitenava. It is better to die, it's better to give up, better to leave the battle. He just drops everything. Literally he becomes impotent in terms of dealing with the issues, in terms of facing the circumstances that he is in. So, and the symptom of this crisis is described in the Gita. Vishada. Shada means to sit. You know, when you just kind of sit down, that's all. You're not able to do anything. There's a time when you ought to act, you're just sitting down. No, I can't make it. I will not. Isse to mar hi jana acha hai. You know, so many people speak like that. When they're not able to handle the situation, isse to mar jana hi acha hai. That is a sign of weakness. Anarya jushtam, asvargyam, akirtikaram arjuna. What nonsense. Is this all the training and all this education that you have undergone is tested during the time of crisis? Anarya jushtam. It's not befitting an Arya. Arya means one who is considering about the progress of the soul. Anarya jushtam, asvargyam. It doesn't even take you to higher planets. It takes you to hell for absconding or you know, giving up your fight, giving up the war. The war with Maya, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, must go on. Asvargyam, akirtikaram Arjuna. And it is not even, at one level it is infamy, causes you infamy. So, so, when you are depressed, the consciousness, our spirit, or our enthusiasm is down. That is the vishada. That enthusiasm is lost, the spirit is lost, you feel completely, the consciousness is down. So, why yoga? Why Arjuna vishada yoga? If this depression-like situation can lead one to connect to Krishna, it is yoga. But one should know how to, in this particular situation, understand the whole situation and respond in a proper way. And that is what is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, this is the original counseling session. Very powerful, effective counseling session. So if you want to see where the history of counseling, most powerful counseling, and in the time of the highest need, right in the battlefield when the conch shell is already blown. Imagine, just before the final exam, the bell is rung, 3 hours to write, and suddenly my pen is slipping from my hand. I see 3, 4 papers. I don't know which paper to write. There was one lady who came for Bhakti Shastri, first Bhakti Shastri course in Dada Gopinath Mandir. And she's one of our very senior congregation ladies. And she told Gaurang Prabhu, Prabhuji, mujhe kuch nahi dikh raha hai. Tare dikh rahe hai bas. She was in the room and there were no stars up there. She said, actually, I'm seeing stars. He said, you know, relax, everything will go away, then you can see. And Raj, in respect, she was extremely, you know, like. So, very interesting. This crisis is a Greek word, which means, one of the meaning is, it's a turning point. It's a very decisive point. It can make you or it can break you. You know? It's the time one makes choices and changes in the course in one's life. It takes a lot of clarity. It takes deep conviction. And it takes courage to take the call. And if we don't, and the whole amount of training and education is to equip us to deal with this. Till the last crisis, which is death. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalivaram. It's going to be there every moment. It can come at any time. And so therefore one must be prepared. With our knowledge, we develop the clarity. With our skill sets, we develop the conviction and the confidence. And with proper role models and inspiration, we also develop the courage. You know, let's see, we'll face it. And what to speak of if we have a powerful association of like-minded people in a very loving family community atmosphere. Then there is, okay, we'll deal with it. And therefore that kind of a community, that is why Sankirtan in Kali Yuga. It isn't possible alone. It is impossible alone. Ekaki amar nahi paibol harinama sankirtane. Therefore Prabhupada said, International Society of Krishna Consciousness. It's a society of people who are clear about their goal, convinced about what they want to achieve, and they have taken bold enough to take that step. So, for example, there are teenage years. Teenage is a crisis. All of us have gone through it. When a child turns to a young man or a woman, what to speak of when they get married or get a new job or get a child, suddenly there is, things go haywire. Responsibility. Responsibility means burden. And burden means weight. And weight means tendency to be thrown out of balance. And to kind of balance it out, to remain steady, we need those kind of people who are very centered, who are highly centered. Just in their presence, what to speak of their guidance, we also feel very centered and not easily kind of getting off track. We have to make conscious choices and change our internal understanding to the external changes. If we don't, we will become dysfunctional. We will not be happy. And sometimes we may not understand many a time, but others can see it very clearly that this person is not in their elements. Truly, you know, like the contribution that they can actually do. Most powerful way to address a crisis is to understand our spiritual identity. Why? Because it is the only thing that does never change. Mama evamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Jiver swarupoy krishnera nitya das. To the extent we have not, it's not a question of understanding. We may have understood. To the extent there is a realization of that, then we can deal with these kind of crises. Without that, it will be very difficult to handle this. So the and this is exactly what Krishna offers to Arjuna in the Gita. Nashto moha. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. I had all these other identities, all these upadhis, and all these attachments. I was connected to that, and suddenly I was feeling everything is going haywire. But now, smritir labdha, I know I got my memory back. Tvat prasadat, by your mercy, Krishna. I have no doubt. What about the path of action? Karishye vachanam tava. Irrespective of all the other things, this should go on. The fight must go on. I will fight. Whether I lose or win, that's irrespective of that. That's the clarity that Arjun gained after hearing the Gita. As long as one maintains only material identity, there will be crises one after another. We are stuck to the identity. We don't want to give up that identity. Unfortunately, in the material world, identities will change. And if we don't want, we will face crisis. Because these identities will be changing constantly. As matter is changing always, one can't find stability in that material situation. As long as we are in a material situation of a material identity, we are bound to face crisis one after another. It's not that if you are in a spiritual platform, it will not come. No, it will come. But it won't affect our journey. Permanent solution is to acquire spiritual identity. That's the only solution. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is described, whatever the issue, Vepathushcha sarireme, Roma harshacha jayate, Gandivam sansate hastat, Tvakchaiva paridahyate, Nachachaknomeva sthatum, Bhramativa chame manaha. All these characteristics of sign of crisis and inability, lacking that clarity, conviction, or the courage to take that, and therefore there is confusion, there is bewilderment, and there is lack of clear action. Okay. When we, as a new devotee, come to Krishna consciousness, we think that we have acquired spiritual identity. Prabhuji, ab samajh mein aa gaya. Tein os mein netha dehe na. That is one of the first verses we learn. And that happens to be the right, one of the first verses to be memorized in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehinosminyatadehe kaumaram yavanam jara tadadehantara prap. That's all. Dhiras tatra na muhyati. That doesn't happen. So, we know we have acquired our spiritual identity, but actually we haven't. We are rationally, scientifically convinced about it. But it is all here. There is head knowledge, which is called as Siddhanta. And there is heart knowledge, which is called Sat Achar. And the distance is one and two, what do you call it? Hasta. Two hastas. And if you have a short neck, only one and a half. But it takes bahunam janmanam ante. From here to here, to sink down from here to here, it takes for sadhana, for siddhanta to become sadachar, there has to be sadhana. That sadhana will give the realization, and then we start acting on the platform of the soul, which is sad achar. It will take time. So, we change our material identity, no doubt. But instead of true spiritual identity. Acha, so what about a devotee? Okay, outside person, he doesn't even know there is a soul. Understandable that he goes crisis. But what about a devotee? A devotee knows. But even though he theoretically understands about the nature of the soul and he has understanding of it, intellectual understanding, but still what happens in a, this is very nice point that Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj brings out, instead of true spiritual identity, we acquire some pseudo-spiritual identity. We change externally from outside society to the devotee society, but spiritual identity is not easy to acquire. That spiritual identity is not come. So in between, we take up another type of spiritualized material identity. And we actually identify deeply with that. I am a brahmachari. Without that, I can't make it back home, back to Godhead. I am a grahastha. I am an advanced devotee. I am a temple president. I am whatever it is. I am an intellectual person. I am this, I am that. Even within the devotee community, these identities are so strong that if they get little shaken up, what to speak of in a community where you are identified with that particular service. Counselor. It can go to guru, whatever level. A shiksha guru. So that identity becomes so deep. And if that is shaken, we are shaken. Because that's our social identity. That's what we identify with so strongly. So, after taking up devotional process, we change our externals. See, when we take up the devotional process, at least we change our externals. We changed our hairstyle. We changed our dress code. Probably we change our lifestyle, our value systems, what we give priority to life changes. Our lifestyle changes, but we are not situated in our swarupa siddhi or constitutional position yet. So externally packaging has changed, but the product is not yet changed. In the sense, internally that thing is not stabilized yet. In the meantime, we develop some interim identity. And they are not our spiritual identity. And they tend to change. They will change. They will change. Inevitably. And to the extent we identify with those interim identity, it's going to cause us crisis. Okay. Even if we give up these interim identities externally, crisis comes in the heart and leads to feeling of emptiness because the pseudo-spiritual identity is very deep. We feel a lack of fulfillment. Why? Because we are stuck to that identity and we are not coming to the activities of the spiritual identity. And therefore there is meaninglessness, emptiness, lack of fulfillment. Even though apparently we are rowing the boat, but the anchor is not released. So we are doing our sadhana. We may increase our sadhana by rowing the boat a little more stronger. We may do everything what is there in the scripture, but until that anchor of identity is removed and come to actually the spiritual identity, we will have issues. Interim identity stops us from achieving swarupa as we are attached and not ready to leave it. As I said, it takes a lot of clarity, it takes a lot of conviction, And it takes a lot of courage to actually take that step forward, to do whatever it takes to actually pursue our goal of coming to a spiritual identity, which is eternal, Jiver Swarubhoy Krishner Nitya Das. To fully body, mind and words, Manasa Deho Geho Jokichumor or Pilun Tuapade Nandakishore. But in Prema Vivarta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we get inspired by pure bhakti, but we should not let material things to overshadow it. But this stage is described as Aropa Siddhi Bhakti. Very interesting. Shivaram Maharaj also writes in the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, I think. He mentions it a little elaborately. There are three kinds of bhakti, he says. So what we are doing is most of the time Aropa Siddha Bhakti. We were doing something. We were eating. We were eating anything and everything before. But then we came to Krishna consciousness and said, hey, no meditating, no intoxication, no illicit, no gambling. Only offered prasad food. Yes. But still I am attached to my pizza. Theek hai. Offered pizza. Mahaprasad. But pizza on. Krishna, you better accept it. Does Krishna like pizza? I don't know, but I like it. And I want to take offered pizza. So, I will continue to do what I am doing, but now I will impose bhakti upon it. I will continue to do, of course, we will not do sinful activity. We will not do unfavorable activity. We will continue to do our activity. The substance is the same activity. Packaging is bhakti. It is called Aropa Siddha. We put aropa of bhakti on that. But generally the tendency is what I like. But I'll do it as per the framework of Krishna consciousness. But it's what I like. This is more like in one sense, it's like karma mishra type. You are enjoying, you continue to enjoy, but you want to do that. From there comes Sangha Siddha Bhakti. Sangha Siddha Bhakti is more towards certain qualities which leads you to liberation. Some things are extremely favorable to bhakti. Austerity is favorable to bhakti. Powerful knowledge is favorable to bhakti. Self-restraint is favorable to bhakti. But in and of itself, that is not bhakti. Naham vedair, na tapasa, na dhane, na cha ijjaya. But these are favorable. If you possess them, that's very good. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, there is that beautiful pastime where there was a brahmachari. He was sinless. He had never performed a sin in his life. And only he was drinking milk. Can you imagine? Whole life drinking only milk and some fruits. He had never eaten. And he desperately wanted to enter Srivas Thakur's house to see Lord Chaitanya's dance. And he begged and pleaded. And Srivas, after a lot of thought process, he says, yeah, since you are sinless, since you are extremely austere, I will allow you inside. But you have to hide. He came and hid in a basket. Big basket. I don't know how big the brahmachari was. And Mahaprabhu came and the evening kirtan started. After a few minutes, Mahaprabhu stopped. Mahaprabhu said, I'm not feeling that ecstasy. Is there someone here who is not supposed to be here? Srivas Thakur, how can you speak lie to the absolute truth? So he said, my lord, no atheist person is here. No sinful people are here. Is there someone here? And then the basket lid opened. And the brahmachari was literally shivering. Can you imagine Mahaprabhu angry? He was shivering. Poor fellow stepped out of the basket and was walking to the door. Said, quick, get out here. How dare he comes here? By austerity he can conquer me? I am not conquered by austerity. What did Gajendra do? What did Gajendra do to acquire the darshan of the Lord? What did the monkeys do who served Lord Ram to have his darshan? What did the gopas do? It was only shelter of me. It's exclusive shelter of mine that can actually give access to the darshan of the Supreme. It's not by austerity, it's not. So all these qualities that are described in the Gita as qualities in the mode of goodness are favorable to bhakti, but in and of itself, in and of themselves, they have no qualification to get bhakti. Even if you are austere for millions of lifetimes, bhakti is swatantra, is completely independent. It's Krishna's will. So, we now ascribe our earlier activities to devotional life and we call it bhakti. This is my service. We identify that service. This is my bhakti. We may not even have a proper attitude. Of course, it is good. Better than not doing anything. It's good, but it is not the ideal. Obviously, we don't offer meat, etc. But we offer what we like rather than what Krishna likes. So, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur further says, though aropasiddha bhakti, through that, later we gradually start asking, actually, what does Krishna like? I've been doing what I like. And I, for the pleasure of Krishna, actually, what does Krishna like? Is it the best that I can offer to Krishna? Many a times, this is also a very important point that he brought out. He said, many a times, there is a calling in our heart which tells clearly, hey, I think what I'm doing is not right. I've got, you know, I've not kind of figured it out. Maybe what I'm doing is actually not what is pleasing to Krishna. Sometimes it comes in our heart, but still there is a doubt. But there is a doubt. What to speak of if we have no one else to clarify that situation? Sometimes we need to clarify. Because we may have our own conception of what is right, what is wrong. But is it really somebody neutral, somebody who is genuinely our well-wisher, very objectively can tell us straight on our face what's the ideal thing to do? It's a benediction if we have such Giriraj Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj said, it's an opulence if you have one person in your life in whom you have faith, trust and confidence. Faith in his knowledge. Confidence in his capability to guide. And trust in his intentions of being a genuine, well-wishing friend without any other hidden agenda. If we can have one person like that in our life, that's an opulence. Truly, that's what the counselor system, the purpose of that system was like that. To at least have a system of care whereby at least one person is rightfully available to us. There are some issues, there are some, but at least some kind of closer to that kind of a system. So there is a doubt. Therefore, there is crisis because we are not clear about it yet. Because we are comfortable with what we are doing and our heart and calling says otherwise. This is the situation that people face. They are figured out how to manage the situation where they are in because they have been doing it for years together. So they are gone to a comfort zone. So they don't want to get out of that comfort zone. At the same time, their heart somewhere, the calling in the heart is telling, I think something needs to be done about it. You know, such a situation is very, very Actually, it's a kind of suffering inside. We are not happy. If you are in that situation, we cannot be happy. So, and in addition to that, what to speak of, there are others who push us to continue what we are doing. Prabhuji, you should do it. We are so grateful to you. Please don't leave us and go away. We like you. Chor guru chandal chela. Narak mein jaye thelam thela. We are surrounded by some yes man. Jai, jai, jai. Kamsa was surrounded by some people. Vibhishan, those spoke, Ravan was surrounded by that kind of people. Even Vidura spoke, but Dhritarashtra was surrounded by yes men who just haame haame milane wale. But heart of heart, so many times Dhritarashtra says, I know, but what can I do? I am helpless. In devotees association, we start playing spiritual roles, but it may not be our original position. Of course, we should not speculate about our swarupa, but somewhere we need to work upon that. That's our ambition, to be situated in our swarupa. And right now we may not have that deep understanding. That's very interesting. So what we are doing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is bhajana kriya. It is not really bhajan. It is kriya. We are doing some physical activities. That's why it's called bhajana kriya. It's not bhajan. Bhajan is deep connection, directly serving. And actually, Krishna is pleased by that. And that's why even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would call those activities sadhana kriya. You know, that means it appears like sadhana, but it is actually not the sadhana to help us taking closer to siddha. We should not be surprised if we meet with obstacles. And then we wonder, what did I do wrong? All that has been written. I have been ticking the box. I have done all that for all these years. Where did I go wrong? Sometimes we feel great dissatisfaction, deep insecurity, or even as Radhanath Swami Maharaj explains in Journey Within, he said, God abandoned us. Oh Krishna, why did you abandon me? We can't even question Krishna. Even quarreling with God, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Maharaj gave the example. Bhaktivedanta Goswami says, Jesus felt he was abandoned by the Lord. Just before, you know, but still again kind of he figured out. He also questioned it. Why have I to go through this? So that question comes. Reason for this is because we are doing something wrong or different, or Krishna is expecting more from us. Therefore, this is happening to us. In one sense, it's a benediction if we can humbly acknowledge it and courage enough to work upon it. If Krishna is expecting us to do more, what? That more can also mean doing things differently in relation to Krishna, or put more heart in what we are doing. It could be anything. But Krishna wants, out of genuine well-wishing friend, from the core of our heart is also giving us the feeling that, no, I need to, I think, work upon it. This may not exactly be what midlife crisis is, but it may coincide with it. Of course, he came to midlife crisis because that's what they had asked him to speak. So he said, midlife crisis is when body is not cooperating with what we are doing. Luckily, the consoling fact is that everyone around us is also growing older. It's such a consoling fact, na? Imagine everyone is younger and you are the only one growing old. It would have been such a feeling of injustice. But everyone thankfully has exactly 24 hours in one day. And every year they have to celebrate their birthday, which is one day extra. And we always feel, I never thought it will ever happen to me. Somehow, that's nature. Life is going on. Life is going down and down. And I have not fulfilled what I wanted to. Today we may be satisfied with what we are doing. But at some point, we may ask ourselves, am I fulfilled? Am I doing what I am supposed to do? Am I putting in my heart into what I am doing? So moving from Aropa Siddha to the newer stage is important. To actually, you know, Swarupa Siddha, towards that side. Am I really ready for it yet? Or do I still have to have some hopes and aspirations to achieve at the stage where I am? We may neglect and yeah. Okay. How do we overcome this? We can speak elaborately on this, because there are so many shades of emotions that people kind of go through this, but we need to address it also, and also time is the factor. The Vedic culture deals very expertly with these transitions. And these transitions are addressed as two aspects, Siddhantikaranam and Abhyasam. Internally, how to see it, how to perceive it, how to accept it, and externally, how to deal with it, and how to communicate it, and how support. Imagine if you are internally prepared before every crisis and you are equipped to deal with it, and if you are able to even communicate it, and if there is a supportive society around you, what a benediction, and how much cushion effect is there to protect you from this major damage from this crisis. And that is what are the samskaras. And the samskaras are internally preparing you. Externally, you are able to communicate. Just like our Radha Kund Prabhu recently underwent the Shashtyabdi Purti ritual. You know, there are so many elaborate rituals. But these rituals also teach, you know, internally what to do. Like I was in Nasik and a child turned 5 years. As soon as the child turned 5 years, the Upanayana Samskara was there for that child. And immediately he was told, this is the last time the mother will feed you. After that you can't eat from mother's hand. You have to eat on your own. This is the last day you will be sleeping with your mother. After that you will not be sleeping. These are the rituals. And simultaneously he is also told, now you are supposed to be taking responsibility. Otherwise I have seen only child, 12-year-old child being fed, sitting in front of the TV with a spoon. 12-year-old. Just because he is the only child. So the samskara internally prepares that person. Now I am grown up, now I will be doing this. Or my elder sister, when she turned puberty, there was a festival and all ladies, all my aunts and everyone came, and And suddenly everyone after the ceremony is holding my sister's cheek. Oh, तो अभी बड़ी हो गई है, तू बड़ी हो. And I am thinking like, ये तो बड़ी हो गई है, तो इतनी है वैसी. कल जैसी थी, आज भी वैसी ही है. So internally, and she was told, no, you are not to be, you know, freely mixing with everyone. You should now be very grave, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. So socially also, everyone is aware. It is communicated. They are also treating that person in a different way. Like when a person retires from a company, they have a big kind of a party and appreciate all that person has done. So a feeling, a sense of chalo, you know, a self-satisfaction, I've done at least something. And everyone is, you know, like preparing. And later, in fact, there are some kind of a seniors who come and handhold into the next stage. Only you can do something what no one else can do because of your experience now. So now you are more in the consultation kind of a category. We value all that experience. We know you will not be able to physically do the same thing what you are doing, but we value those experiences. We want that kind of input. So they are put, you know, they are promoted. Not that, you know, suddenly, you know, you're useless. One day he was a workaholic and suddenly he has nothing to do. He'll go crazy. So these are the kind of things that, especially Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj saying, so if a temple president is suddenly kicked out from ISKCON, nothing else to do. A GBC decides and he just resigns and leaves, that's all. There is no samskaras done. There is no movement from a smooth transition with internal preparation, with proper communication and the support system so that he can contribute in it, but a different way, in a more meaningful way, in a more substantial way. So at every stage, if this kind of a preparation through training is done, and then if systems are in place, support system is in place in a community, then naturally people feel secure. People feel a sense of belonging and they would really try to give their best in life. Knowing irrespectively whether I am in this color or this ashram or that ashram, I can continue to contribute in a substantial and meaningful way. So that's the whole idea. And therefore, if these things are understood, then when a crisis comes, to shift from a situation to the next situation will not be as much of a crisis, but rather a very smooth transition from one phase to another phase. I think we'll stop here. No more questions. Because as you may have seen, two samskaras have been already given. And very dignifiedly the transition has to happen. So everyone proceed to a prasadam hall. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we thank His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu for sharing with us what this crisis is all about, what situations bring about crisis. Growth also leads to crisis, and then the internal and external dvandva, that also leads to crisis. And then if we have the right kind of knowledge, which gives us clarity, the right skill sets, which give us the confidence, the role models, who give us the courage that we can do it, and the association, the community. So these four things, if we have in our life, and we do have them to guide us, so we can definitely overcome this crisis and grow and evolve. So we thank Prabhuji by loudly chanting three times, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So for those in the Brahmachari Sadhana retreat, so there's prasadam now at the place we had yesterday. And then the next session after that is at 11:15. So we can all...